of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your geese on claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
There we go. Get that mic turned on. What's up, everybody? Oh, yeah. We are rolling deep here in the quarantine, living the dream. Chef Jeff, Chef Plum, Plum Love Foods Live here on a pop-up Wednesday. Jeffy, how about that?
I love pop-up Wednesday, especially when we're in quarantine. It gives us all something to talk about.
Can we make that a thing, pop-up Wednesday? Can that officially be a thing or no?
Pop-up Wednesday, coming to a channel near you.
An emergency room near you.
Yeah.
That's terrible, man. What's going on, you guys? Happy to be with you as we sit here in the quarantine, living the dream. Like I said, getting a little tired of doing stuff, but thankfully we've been doing the pop-up shows here on the program to kind of just, you know, look, of course we're trying to make things fun, make things a little silly, you know, and try to get some knowledge out there with great guests. And Jeffy, we got some great guests tonight. Who's joining us?
Well, tonight we have Faraz Sabir, who's a ERPA at Stanford Hospital in Connecticut.
A fantastic musician, too.
And then we have an amazing musician. He was actually with us at Santa Cruz, how we first met him. And then, we all became fans back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we also have Food for the Frontlines, our friend.
Nicole Strait is joining us.
Nicole Strait.
Yeah, exactly. To talk a little bit about that. And they're doing some amazing stuff, man. They've raised like 20 grand and sent so much food already, which is pretty awesome.
Dude, raise that much money, and the fact that there's so many chefs out of work willing to jump in and feed other people. I mean, my heart goes out to the whole community. It's like, it's such a shitty time. It's just such a shitty time.
Well, it makes me feel good as a human being just to see, you know, it makes me feel good as a human being to see, like, us as chefs that sometimes, and look, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but we get a little bit of a bad rap as being tough guys, a little rough around the edges, but you see so many chefs stepping up and trying to do something amazing to help, you know, help people, some of the people out in the hospitals. It's pretty great to see, dude.
Absolutely, that's exactly what I mean. It's like,
hi,
immediately.
Nicole, if you would please leave me a text message rather than a voicemail, as I very rarely call people.
Wow.
Great.
That was pretty funny.
I was like, whoa. Hey.
How about that?
You're on the air.
We'll try her back in a second. We're trying to get Nicole on, but clearly it went straight to a voicemail. I bet it's because they're calling from Skype.
Yeah, well, yeah, it gets that weird number. I'm like, looks like we're going to be like a prince or something from someplace else.
We could be. You know what else we could do? We could be telling her that we need money from a third world country to save our mother or whatever.
Exactly, something like that. Oh my gosh, you must wire us money today.
And if we could actually
Hi,
get that
Nicole.
Money from her,
if you would please leave me.
If we could actually get that money from her, you know. Yeah, she's saying her phone doesn't recognize unknown phone numbers. Yep, I get it. I know. But it's I love the fact that we can get chefs helping people. That's what I think is so important about it. And when we have chefs helping people, it makes life so
much. Oh, whoa.
Wait a minute. We saw this coming. Of course we all saw this coming. It's a pop-up show. Dave's on time. Hey, Dave.
What up?
You know, sitting here messing with stuff. How about you?
Same, I guess.
That's it? That's all you got to add? No stories? Dave, what do you think?
Give us the rundown. I'm drinking tequila and eating instant ramen that I gussied up a little bit. So,
can you give us the rundown from New York City right now? How bad is it out there?
We have one person dying every hour, at least, from the coronavirus now.
That's true right there, too. He's not making that up.
Yeah. And actually, the streets were empty today. It was nice. I left the apartment for the first time in a while.
Where'd you go?
And I had to go get some booze and some groceries.
Wow.
But the cool thing is the wine shop only let one person in at a time, so that helped. And then I had to get, you know, some necessities like deodorant and stuff like that, because when you run out of deodorant during a quarantine, you definitely notice. Yeah, I woke up, I was offending myself, so.
Wow.
Keeping it funky.
And Jeff, you went back to work today, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm back. I was on quarantine for 20 days, no fever, still feel healthy, no one in my house has gotten anything, thank God. And I'm just, just doing everything as safe as I can, getting a lot of food delivered, taking care of a few different, like, satellite groups of people, you know, people that work for our family. Some people live on the property, you know.
Right.
So, you know, making sure everybody there gets fed. And, you know, just trying to give the family as much space as they can, you know. It's like, that's kind of what you do. It's like in something like this. It's like, you know, everybody loves everybody, but, you know, we're all trying to kind of, like, hang back. But this is my first day back.
Hello.
Wow. Hey, Nicole. How are you?
Hey, Plum. How are you?
Jeffy was just in the middle of a story, but he didn't know I was calling you right there, so... Jeffy, just put a hold on that for a second, if you don't mind, man. I guess we got the...
Whatever, let's work it.
That's right. Well, hi, Nicole. It's been a long time. I'll tell our story in just one second. Welcome to Plum Loaf Foods Live here on the quarantine pop-up number 4. Woo-hoo. Got myself, of course, Chef Jeff, and Chef Dave is joining us right now. We appreciate you taking some time to come on here and hang out with us tonight. You're out there killing it, doing some amazing things with food for the front lines.
Oh, thanks.
That's it? Oh, thanks? Come on.
Thanks? I don't know. I was just spent an hour doing TikToks with my teenagers. I'm like out of breath over here.
So
I'm still trying to figure out.
Go ahead, Dave. Make your joke.
Sorry. No, I'm actually just still trying to figure out how to use TikTok.
Yeah, you shouldn't use TikTok by
yourself.
Well,
that's why I have
man.
Teenagers in the house, because yeah. I don't know how to use TikTok. I did some kind of dance, and my husband was embarrassed. It was all good.
Well, I worry about Dave doing TikTok, Nicole, because Dave is 6'9", 320 pounds, and he's a grown man living by himself in New York City. I think that would be weird.
He would own it. He would own it, Plum. Come on now.
Well,
thank you.
Don't forget the clown makeup.
Yeah.
That was the other day.
Oh, is that it? That's right. So, Nicole, first, before I haven't talked to you in so long, we did a commercial spot together years ago.
How many years was that?
It's like last year. I don't pay attention anymore.
Sure.
I'm getting old.
It was like 10 years ago. I think it was like 10 years ago.
Shut up. It was not that long ago.
I think it actually was close to 10 years ago.
No. 7? Maybe it was 2013, right. I'm guessing.
Okay, 7, 10, whatever.
All right, well. But that's where I met Nicole. And we hit it off. We made jokes and talked. And didn't we do a couple other events together? And then we kind of just fell off there.
We did. I think you judged a cookie contest when
that's
I worked
right.
for the Selden with Dan and Christian, and I feel like our paths may have crossed another time.
Well, you know, it's just we have an amazing group of chefs here in Fairfield County and people in the hospitality industry, and you know, you're definitely one of them. That's why, because we all seem to cross paths every now and then, and that's kind of what happened to you here with this whole thing with Food for the Frontlines, right?
Yeah, this was really this has been like 10 days since this started. It feels like 6 months have gone by. Yeah. My daughter is home from her freshman year of college, and she's an EMS in Westport. And
oh, wow.
She was doing a shift, and I was sitting home worrying about her, and I have another good friend of mine who's an ER nurse in Norwalk, and I was sort of home worrying about her. And so I texted Bill and Rachel, Bill, who owns a bunch of restaurants in Westport, and I said, look, can you like make some meals that I can pick up that are individually packaged that I can drop off to the EMS and to the ER workers just to show them some love. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm like, this is going to cost me so much money. And so I literally just put on a couple of Facebook pages, hey, you know, I bought some meals to show some love to like the Westport EMS and Norwalk ER. I said, if anybody wants to support me and contribute to this so we can try to support our local restaurants and support our, you know, frontline workers, you know, Venmo me whatever you want. And like by the next morning, Plum, I think I had like $4,000 in donations.
Wow.
And like by the next day I had like $8,000 in donations. I mean, I feel like what I hit on was the fact that people, including myself, were sitting home feeling powerless and afraid. And I think we all recognize how much value all of our local community restaurants provide to us. And, you know, seemingly overnight, they seem to have lost all their income. And it's scary, you know. And then I think we're all, I mean, we see it now that a week has gone by. Matt Storch just sent me a text that he got. He just dropped off meals to the Norwalk ER night shift. And he sent us this text that he got from one of the nurses who said she's worked her third, like, double overtime. And she said, you have no idea how much it means to us to be getting these meals. And every day I'm talking to a nurse, you know, or an ICU worker or somebody else. And they're just, these meals are, they mean so much to them because everybody's so afraid and everybody's overworked. I feel like we're sending, you know, our soldiers into battle with a toothpick right now. And
we kind of are.
You know, so the community, we really are. And it's not their fault. And, you know, gosh, I think, you know, it's terrifying for everybody. And I'm sure you guys know from the restaurant industry, it's like, at least everybody's been trying to scramble and pivot, but it's just so scary. It's scary all around right now. So absolutely, that was really how this started. Really just started very simply. And I think as of today, we have people who are now emulating this to support the restaurants in New Haven. And now we have people supporting this in Hartford. And then we got somebody, I had a nice phone call with a woman who started this in Litchfield. And she's just starting small, just supporting the local restaurants in Litchfield. And she delivered to Litchfield EMS today. So, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if we could get every community, not just in Connecticut, but what if every community could do this?
Absolutely. I mean, literally, it's one of those things that we were talking about a couple of days ago, Jeff, about how, you know, restaurants aren't set up. It's not the business that's set up to go a couple of weeks without making money. Like, the margins are so small. It's remarkable. Yeah. And one of the other kind of side effects from what you're doing here is that you're keeping some cooks working. You know, you're keeping some people working.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I bought meals from another restaurant. I think it was the second day. And I got a text from the chef. And she said, you know, you just kept one of my staff employed for the day. And
amazing.
Like, it just, I've always heard, like, I've never owned a restaurant, but I've always heard it's a nickel and dime business. It isn't like you guys have a gajillion dollars socked away in like some offshore account. And, you know, I think oftentimes as a community person, I think we take our restaurants for granted, right? They're always going to be there. They're always, and it's like, now's the time to, you know, to return some love. And, you know, and it's so great that all the restaurants are offering, you know, curbside pickup, which is amazing. But like, I feel like Food for the Front Lines, it does both things, you know, and just in one fell swoop.
Yeah, I mean, that's the coolest thing about it. You know, so Matt Storch is a good buddy of mine, and, you know, he told me what got me paying attention to see what was going on was he was talking about how he had that donate button on his POS system, and I was just kind of blown away by that. And I was like, I want to give you money. Like, I'm not going out. I can't leave my house. My wife won't let me.
Right.
I want to give you money. How can I do that? And he was like, well, you know, just give it to you guys and share that link and get that out there, and that will, you know, it's the same thing. And I was like, done. And so that's what we've been trying to do and trying to push it any way we possibly possibly can.
I mean, we even got a text from a restaurant who said somebody donate, you know, somebody gave them $250, and they said specifically, this is to send meals to the front line. And so it's so great that like restaurants are kind of owning this in their own way. And that we can be the point people. You know, the first week I did this was chaos because I had to get, you know, point person. We have delivered meals to every single hospital in Fairfield County, every ER and ICU unit, as well as every single EMS throughout Fairfield County from Danbury down to Greenwich. And now that we're in week two, now we're into like our second week of just calling. And so, you know, I like that we're the point people because the last thing I want to do is overwhelm the nursing, you know, the hospitals, and certainly not have people showing up, you know, unannounced, here, I've got pizzas for you. It's like, they can't be doing that. You know, we're very specific when we ask the restaurants. There's a very specific way. They have to pack everything individually. You know, it has to kind of be ready to eat if it has to sit out for an hour because, you know, these people are literally gobbling their food down, you know, on the go. And so you know, I appreciate that the restaurants, you know, are coming to us. You know, all of a sudden I have this team overnight of, you know, Stephanie Webster, who runs CT Bites.
Oh, she's, you know, the Rhea worst. Rudolph, we're not friends with her. She's not our favorite person
ever.
Oh, stop
it. You know, the fact that I have this, like, incredible, you know, powerhouse, like, female team, and, like, we're just kind of getting it done, just putting our heads down and just being of service both to the restaurant community and to the first line, you know, healthcare responders, because it's scary on both ends.
100%. I just want to clarify, too, I love Steph. She's one of my favorite people in the planet.
I know. She's the best.
I try to talk to her at least once a day. I love her. She's the best. Jeff, can you throw a plug out there for Food for the Front Lines, where we can find some more info?
Yes, absolutely. Listen, you want to go to Food for the Front Lines. At Food for the Front Lines on their Instagram. Go right to their homepage. Follow them so you can keep up what's going on. But more importantly, hit the GoFundMe link right there and throw some money towards some of these people on the front lines, some
Everything
of these
helps,
EMTs,
man.
And some of these people who are out there, some of these people in the hospitals who are working 3 and 4 and 5 shifts more than they usually do with a paper mache mask and a pair of gloves and dealing with stuff that, you know, we don't even know about and scary. So
Absolutely.
Get out there, help them out at Food for the Front Lines.
And Nicole, literally a giant thank you to you for organizing this, as, you know, just speaking, I'm not speaking for every chef, I'm speaking for just a chef in general and for the industry that I know and friends that I have for doing this. It's you're doing amazing things for people in the industry, you know, as far as keeping people working and at least doing the best we can, but you're also, you know, feeding people and providing nourishment. Because listen, that's what we do. That's the best thing we can do. I mean, as chefs, as culinary professionals, I mean, we provide food. That's what we do. We got to not ever forget that. And one of the coolest things I think that you're doing is that you're still, you know, as Matt Storch said, practicing the art of hospitality. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, I think we all know, and I'm no longer actively in the food community, but, you know, food is more than just sustenance and material. It's really a way of showing love. And so every time, it's so sweet, every time most of the restaurants, when they deliver food, you wouldn't believe, and if you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, the restaurants are like, they're either writing notes or they're putting smiley faces or they're saying thank you. Like, the little notes I'm hearing from the healthcare workers, they really love reading those. It's like, it's just a little
awesome
touch point sort of out to the world right now. So I'm grateful to all the restaurants who are able to support and that, you know, they're really putting in the extra effort, and everybody appreciates it.
You're the man. That's all it is to it. You're the man, and we appreciate
the woman,
what you're doing.
The woman.
Whatever
the
I
woman.
Can do to help you, listen.
The woman.
You're the woman. That's right. That's right. I think I don't mean the man like physically the man. I just mean like
I got you.
Numero
got you.
Uno, the boss. Like, you're killing it. You know.
Thanks, Plum.
Listen, if I can help you in any way, ever, shape, or form, whatever I can do, whether it's social media or you need to get in touch with somebody, whatever I can do, please, you have my number. Text me. Say hi.
I got it, Plum. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, if people just, you know, keep supporting us and, you know, hit up our GoFundMe page. Mm. And like I said, we will continue to do this as long as we have funding. So
we're going to push the hell out of it for you. Nicole, thank you so much for everything.
All
seriously.
Right,
and again,
take
Jeff.
Take care. Hey, stay safe out there.
You too. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Bye, guys. Good night.
Bye,
thank
Nicole.
You so
there
much.
She goes.
Yeah.
Nicole Strait, representing Food from the Front Lines, doing some amazing stuff out there, man. Let's take a quick breather, gentlemen. Oh, you know, before we do that, Jeff, just get that plug one more time. I feel rude. I should give it one more time before we get out of here.
Absolutely. It's at Food for the Front Lines. Go to their page right on Instagram. Right on the front of the homepage, there's a link for their GoFundMe page. Hit that GoFundMe link. Donate whatever you can just
That's
to help
it.
Out.
Anything.
Throw it out there. You're not going out. You're not going to the bar. You're not doing anything cool. Might as well help people.
Yo, throw them $10, $15, $800. We're all about to get them big checks from the government, right? Let's make sure we take care of the people on the front lines. Hey, you got to stay
now
right
you're
there.
Really speaking from the heart. I
That's
love
it.
That.
You got to stay right there. We'll be right back. Plum Love Foods Live. We're talking to Faraz Sabir. We get back. You guys hang tight. We'll be right back. Plum Love Foods Live. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, ErgoChef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like 3 of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word is not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
Morning, ears ringing from the night before. It was one of those times when one drink turns into just one more. So baby, come along for the ride. Oh, girl, your hips don't lie. You should let your friends go home. You wanna stay, I see it in your eyes. So fill up my cup, the bottoms go up. Damn, you looking fine, you are my Delaware. Come through the back, cut the line in the front. Cause we ain't gonna stop till the morning. Six in the morning. You're the shot that I'm taking. And I don't need a chaser. I only wanna taste you. Got me drunk on the feeling. Till six in the morning.
Whoa, stop. Little mommy in the crop top. Started from the bottom, see me climbing to the top top. So you moving them hips and you licking them lips. I just can't get my body to go through with it. Show me what you do with it. You won't, it's a no filter, that's confidence. Backseat to the Uber, yeah, we taking this to a place where the party ain't stopping till six.
So fill up my cup, the bottoms go up. Damn, you looking fine, you on my Delaware. Come through the back, cut the line in the front. Cause we ain't gonna stop till the morning. Till six in the morning.
Six a.m. by our guest, soon to be guest here in a second, Faraz Sabir. Listen, not only is the guy gonna heal you all alone by himself from coronavirus, but he'll sing to you while he does it, Jeffy. That's what I think.
If he sings like this to his patients, I don't know how people learn dancing out of a hospital. I don't understand. I don't understand how that's not like a like. I feel better right now. I had my bad back pain.
Yeah. Is it gone?
Not anymore.
Wow.
It's like I put on copper socks. It's amazing.
Copper socks. Nice. Nicely done. We met Faraz during our event, Dave, with the Navy. Remember that?
Yeah. The Santa Cube.
Yeah, we were hanging out there, and Faraz was nice enough to come and bring his talents over to perform for the guys as they had dinner, and the guy was just phenomenal, and you know, we've become friends over the years here, and not only is he an amazing musician, super talented. That voice, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell him when he gets on. I have a compliment I want to give him, but I want to give it when he gets on here. When you have a guy like that who can perform that way and has this amazing music, but not only that, he's also saving lives every day as he works in the ER in Stamford, Connecticut as a physician's assistant. Talk about being on the front lines. Dave, I don't know if you could be more front lines than that. He's in the middle of it, dude. That's crazy.
PAs do way more than doctors do.
Yeah, that's what you were saying to me, which is pretty crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my friend, our friend, friend of the program, first time on the program, Faraz Sabir. Faraz, what's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me, man. It means the world. I know I made it when I'm on the podcast.
Hey, so
I appreciate
look,
you guys.
That's right. That's right. Look, Jeffy, somebody finally recognizes that shit, right?
It feels good when people say that. Thank
you. It does. Listen, Faraz, you're gracing the same airwaves that Guy Fieri's been on, Troy Johnson. There's some big names have been on here, brother, and you're on here too.
Hey, man. And I'm blessed, man. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity, guys. I'm excited to share it with you.
Listen, before we get into everything else, I want to talk music for a second and tell you that when I first heard Dance With Me, first time, I think it's the first song I heard of yours.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, man, this is the voice of a dude that I know that I'm probably going to listen to the rest of my life. Just because I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
And, It's on my it's on my summertime playlist, and it probably will stay there forever, as well as 6 a.m. now and whatever new music you're going to put out, dude. So you got a fan in me for sure, and I mean that. Literally, I heard your voice, and I was like, this is the dude. I'm going to listen to him the rest of my life. This dude's awesome.
Wow, man. There's no better compliment than that, man. That means the world. That has made my week, if not my month. So I appreciate that, man.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate what you're doing. What's going on with music? Got some new music coming out soon, or what are we doing?
Yeah, man. You know, it's a little bit harder to work on music with everything going on. Normally, you know, I almost wish I was on quarantine a little bit so I could have some time to decompress. But no, I've been trying to write a little bit, you know, throughout everything going on and throughout work and everything. But making some strides, working on a couple things. Hopefully, after this is all done, we'll have some new music out for you guys and something else to jam to, you know.
Yeah, I hope so, man. No doubt about it. Listen, we're hoping if we get a summer, if we can get a summer, Jeff and Dave, if we can get a summer, our project that we've been talking about, our fun project, Faraz would be great to come out to the Hamptons and hang with us and do it, wouldn't he?
That sounds
yeah. Good. Are you kidding? I would love to have him out there, and I think honestly that's the first time I heard 6 a.m. I that's fire, bro. That song is really,
that's
really
hot.
I really like it, man. I really like it a lot.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Hey, let me tell you something, Faraz. Jeffy and I are quite the dancers, and we like to dance together.
I gotta see this.
Yeah,
I gotta see this.
Well,
we'll wait till the Hamptons.
That's why we only do the audio, because we don't want to burn up. We don't want to break the internet.
It's,
you know,
too much fire.
If we had the video, it's too much heat. You know, right. Shit is not. You know, we're not. No one's ready.
Look, our dance group used to be called Mount Vesuvius. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That was our dance group.
That's good.
And I was Vesuvius. Well,
does that mean I mount you? That's weird.
Just take it as you will.
Took a weird turn there. Well, so aside from being an amazing musician, brother, you also work in an ER. And, wow, boy, did you pick the wrong career right now, huh? Holy shit.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, I was coming off a hiatus, actually, and I was switching just hospitals from Northern Connecticut to Southern Connecticut. And it was the week that I started back up that this started really ramping up. And I'm like, you know what? There's no better time. I came off a 4-week rest and just right back out of the front lines, man. And now, you know, I never felt like I was going to war, but now I know, I guess, a little bit about what it feels like. So yeah, it's been quite the journey so far.
I think that's probably a pretty good reference when it comes to this sort of thing. And here's the thing. So people who don't know, because this show does go national, Faraz works in Stamford, Connecticut. So basically, lower Fairfield County is basically, you know, anywhere from, you know, 25 miles to New York City to 40 miles to 50 miles to New York City. And, you know, a lot of people would consider it a suburb of New York City. So you're right in the middle of it, man. You're getting New York patients there in Stamford, aren't you?
Yeah, and it's the number one county affected in Connecticut right now. So, I mean, you know, really, after New York City, it's really that's the next step.
I mean, it's got to be insane, man. So talk about the day-to-day for you now when you go in, because you're in an ER, which I got to imagine there's still people showing up at the ER going, I have symptoms.
Right. And, you know, going into emergency medicine, you always get a little bit of butterflies. And, you know, I've been doing this for 4 years now, and initially it was, all right, you're a little afraid, you don't know what's going to happen, and, you know, as you get used to the shift, you feel comfortable, and you're chatting with the nurses and chatting with the docs, and everybody's friends, and everything's great. And now, you know, I get this knot in my stomach that just doesn't leave, even after I get home through the shift and everything, because you just, you know, it's we're fighting something that we're slowly learning more and more about every day, and there's really, really just no protocol against this, because all the facts are changing so quickly, because this is so novel to us, you know? So it's the day to day has just been worrying and making sure you're not missing anything and being as thorough as possible, and trying to avoid getting it yourself. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges overall as well, given the shortages of not having enough supplies and everything going on. So it's a multifactorial way to kind of approach this. But, you know, I would be lying to say it's not overwhelming at times.
Yeah, I got to imagine, man. So what do you do to protect yourself when you're going in? I mean, is it to every patient you protect yourself? Obviously, you do to a degree, but is it any different now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I never used to wear a mask with, you know, regular procedures, you know, stitching a patient up, even just checking out their broken ankle or sprained ankle or whatever. And I'm masking up for every patient. And unfortunately, you know, because of these masks are in low supply, we just have to use the same one. I'm masking up at every patient because you just don't know. There's so many asymptomatic carriers. There's a lot going on. There's a lot we don't know about. Transmission, we're still kind of guessing on how it's transmitted, but we kind of have a grasp on that. So really, it's just about being as safe as possible and doing what you can do to the best degree, no matter what.
Well, I want to ask you, let's just talk Connecticut numbers for a second here. And it's a question I've asked all the experts, you know, I'm air quoting experts that we've had on these pop-up shows so far for the program. You know, here in Connecticut, I mean, Fairfield County alone, let's go with Fairfield County. Fairfield County, we have, you know, easily over a million people. We have at the moment 500 cases. You know, no, I'm sorry, 800 cases.
Right.
And, you know, obviously we don't know what the exact number is, but let's even say it's 6,000 cases, right? Those numbers compared to how many...
875 confirmed as of, you know, today. But we probably have, we definitely have way more than that.
Yeah, I mean, the number, however many confirmed, is kind of almost a moot point because we don't, if we tested everybody, then it would make a difference, but we don't know. I mean, we should probably assume like it's 7,000 people. But let's just say it's 7,000 people. You know, with over a million people in this county, my question for you as a healthcare professional is this for us. If we tested everybody for the flu the same way we're testing this, would those numbers be similar?
So I think that they would.
And by the way, just I'm not trying to be like conspiracy theory guy. I'm just curious.
No. Absolutely. And I think the issue is that influenza, yes, it is rampant. I mean, it is very easily transmittable, and everyone ends up with having the quote unquote flu. I think the virulence and the way that this spread, this COVID-19 is spreading. I honestly think that if you released the flu and released coronavirus in the same societies, let's say these like made up artificial intelligent people that have bodies, and you release both of them, I still think that COVID-19 would spread a little faster just based on how we're seeing it, how the way it spreads. I mean, you know, a lot of people in Connecticut are saying this initially, the epicenter in Connecticut was at this gathering in Westport, where it was about 40 individuals from ages, you know, 35 to 60, and after that it started spreading even more. I don't think if you put flu in a room it would spread like that, and the issue is because COVID-19 is not giving you those symptoms of the flu. You know, the flu feels like you got hit by a truck and you're like, I'm not going to this party. COVID-19 is like, hey, you're fine, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And so you're just carrying a viral load, spreading it around, and you have no idea. So, you know, this is a little bit, actually a lot more dangerous than the flu.
Wow. I mean, it's just one of those things I've always wondered about. I don't know. I mean, hopefully I don't get it. Like I said in the top of the show here, I'm on day 13 of being, you know, self-isolated here with the family. And, you know, we did it by choice just to stay away from everybody. And some cases now in the town where I live are starting to pop up. And a friend of ours, as a matter of fact, is now on a ventilator at Danbury Hospital from this, which is kind of crazy.
That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
That's difficult, man. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. And, you know, I don't know. So talk about the supplies, man. You said, you know, you kind of said in passing in a conversation there, you guys are reusing masks. And I've heard people talking about that in other other press conferences and things like that. That's a real thing, huh? You guys are having to reuse that shit.
Yeah. You know, and I never thought we would come to that. But really, I mean, the national shortage is nothing to be joked about. You know, when... The other day, when you're starting to see that Yale University, one of the biggest academic centers in the world, I would say, is asking for donations of masks and gloves and things like that, that should just kind of be a little preview on how low we really are on supplies. And we really are using, you know, one of those isolation masks, which are called N95s. We just use one per shift, even sometimes one per every other shift. So it's really difficult. I know a lot of my friends that are healthcare providers all over the Northeast, and they're doing the same thing. I mean, we've never been facing this many patients with the same illness in such a short amount of time. And unfortunately, we just don't have the luxuries of been stocked up before this all happened, you know?
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. So how many patients do you think you've seen who are positive?
Oh, man. I don't even think I have a guess.
Wow, that many.
That's how many. Yeah. And why I say that is because there have been so many cases where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, this is totally fine, no worries, and then here you are, you have coronavirus positive if you take the swab. You know, and kind of in the beginning of it, when they started swabbing a lot of asymptomatic individuals, it was positive, positive, positive. So to say, you know, how many people have I seen probably with coronavirus? More than I could even imagine.
Wow.
How many people have I seen sick? That's also a pretty hard, you know, large number. And it's hard to say because, again, it evolves so quickly that, you know, 1-2 days after you start getting a little bit of symptoms, you can feel fine. And most people do feel fine. And however, the opposite end, if you start to not feel well, then it's a quick decline, unfortunately, because of this pneumonia that it causes, which is the deadliest part about it.
Man, that's truly unbelievable, brother. And honestly, I can't believe the work you're doing. I mean, Jeff, can you even imagine, like, I want you to go be a chef and you're going to cook for 500 people, Jeff, but you can't use your knife.
Dude, I'm just blown away, man. The whole thing, like, I mean, I my heart goes out to you, especially when you said, like, every night you go to sleep with a knot in your stomach, because I feel like that's something that a lot of people can at least relate with, because it's like, you know, the more that the story unfolds and the more that we see what's going on, I don't know if anybody follows anything in Italy and just can, that those are anything like the projections of what could happen here. I mean, people, doctors and people on these front lines are going to be like, so overwhelmed. They already are, and it just scares me. You know, it's just, I'm just so worried about so many things. So I my heart goes out to you, and I just appreciate you so much, brother, for just being out there and just doing what you do.
No, man, I appreciate the love, man. We all need it as much as possible.
So how often? I mean, or what's the plan for you as a healthcare professional working at an incredibly busy hospital who's seeing a lot of patients who are going to have this virus? How often do you get tested, or have you even been tested yet?
Yeah, no, and you know, one thing that's really important is about employee safety, and this is, you know, again, all hospitals across the nation, they're making sure that either it's temperature checks at the door, or, you know, if you have any symptoms, even if you're coughing and it's related to some seasonal allergies, they'll be like, nope, guys, stay home. I mean, they're very diligent about what's going on and making sure that we're healthy and not spreading it to other individuals. I mean, that's one of the biggest things. And in Italy, unfortunately, you know, I don't know if you read a couple of the articles that they published within the past couple of weeks, but a lot of the workers were testing positive, and they're like, you know, it doesn't matter. You got to come to work no matter what. And that's crazy in Italy. And hopefully we don't get to that point, because at that point we're just in a cyclical infective process. But, you know, right now we still have enough individuals working. We have a great infrastructure overall hospital wise, and I have a lot of faith that we can beat this thing. It's just about really maintaining that social distancing. We're going to have to do it a pretty long, much longer than we thought, and just keep maintaining us being healthy ourselves, and then making sure that we don't keep running this cycle.
100%. And, you know, another thing I was going to ask you about is, I know that, you know, there's been a call for retired nurses, doctors, any kind of healthcare person who's retired, to kind of come in if they can and help out. You know, just come help out to get through this. The same thing with even letting some medical school professionals, you know, graduate early or get out of school early to come help. Does that worry you at all to see, like, you know, maybe a student to jump in and working at a hospital before? Obviously, I know their training goes further than just schooling, but to come in and help like that, or to have someone who's been retired for 10 or 15 years to come back, have things changed to a point where maybe they can't practice medicine as well as they possibly, as a new guy could?
Yeah, no, and, you know, it's a great question. And honestly, you know, kind of looking at that retrospectively and being like, hey, how do I feel about that? Really, at this point, I, you know, again, it's the difference between when you're going to a war and you know, you're facing, you have an army of 100 people and you're facing an army of 100,000. Do you want the women and children and everybody else that didn't used to fight back, you know, 500 years ago? Do you just want them just so you can have an extra body out there? Because maybe that one rock that somebody throws makes a difference. Absolutely. And that would be my answer to that. I think you need all hands on deck if you can, really, just because this is just what we have to do, is fight as a human race, really, as opposed to, you know, almost delineating between one thing or another. You know, there should be task limitations, of course, on what certain individuals do based on their scope of practice, but having more bodies out there is just helpful, especially when there's so many more patients, you know?
I mean, I don't want a foot doctor putting me on a ventilator. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no. That will still never happen.
It's a bad idea.
I don't think so. God willing, let's knock on wood that that does not happen.
That's a bad idea. Or it's like Lost, where they have their main doctor is a dentist. Come on. Stop it.
Hey, man.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Right. Jeffy, why don't you give a plug for Faraz, man? We've been talking to Zeroff here for a few minutes and haven't plugged him enough yet.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You want to? If you want to hear his music, you want to go to Spotify and search Faraz Sabir.
That's up.
You'll find him out there. And then on Instagram, you're going to find him as Furozzy, F-U-R-Ozzy, O-Z-Z-Y. And give him a follow there. Give him some likes on his stuff.
That's our homie.
Tell everybody, slide in their DMs, asking personal questions. They love that.
Why do you always tell people to do that?
I think it would be great. I think it makes people's lives more exciting.
Does it?
I'm dying for people to do that.
Do you know how many weird pictures I get because of that shit you do?
I'm so thankful. At least somebody's getting it. I'm...
Oh, Jeffy.
Hey, man, it keeps it exciting.
I guess.
Yeah, man, we keep it freaky. Let's do it.
I want to pull Dave into the conversation. And Dave lives in New York City, Faraz, and he's down there in the Lower East Side, the mean streets of the Lower East Side. And, Dave, you say from your window every day, for the most part, you can see lines around Trader Joe's, lines around Whole Foods, right?
Target and Trader Joe's. But, yeah, yesterday, line around, you know, one end of the block, and then another one forming in front of the building.
How far apart are the people in line?
Not far apart enough.
So this brings up my question.
It's
to
like
you, Faraz.
You can tell that they just don't know what 6 feet actually is.
Yeah. So this brings up my question to you, Faraz. I wonder if this is doing more damage than helping, because you have people in New York City who are still, they just don't fucking get it, and they're standing close to each other waiting in line.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really difficult to practice that social distancing and enforce it, unfortunately, which is why we're still going to see this rampant uptick in cases. It's really, we could really prevent this as a society and as a country as a whole, and even as a continent, if we really practice social distancing as regimented as they're implementing, especially as, you know, the CDC guidelines are very clear. Stay 6 feet away, quarantine if you have any symptoms, social distancing, stay at home. As simple as possible. Of course, I understand, though, in New York City, where the population density is so high, that everyone's just used to it. You know, I mean, you know, I record all my music out of Williamsburg with my brother, Adnan, and I can't imagine being in New York and like, actually standing 6 feet away from someone. It would feel very weird, you know? So it's almost like things like the New Yorker mentality to be like, hey, let's kind of huddle up together, you know? Let's just kind of do it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that, to be honest with you. As far as the testing goes, man, I heard, you know, I've been trying to pay attention to all the press conferences, whether it's the president doing it and or Governor Cuomo, who, by the way, is a superhero these days. You know, just watching,
he really is. He's killing it out there.
Right? Isn't he doing amazing? I like how honest he is. But they're talking about the testing, and apparently there's a new test coming. And FEMA is working on getting that out quickly. Have you heard anything about this one that's like a easier test with like a 45-minute response time?
Yeah, the 45-minute turnaround. And you know, they're really trying to unleash that as fast as possible. Again, it's just difficult for making enough swabs, making enough solution that the test sits in and transport that in saline and all that stuff. But really, that would be a game changer, and I think that would really prevent us going through what Italy went through. If we can test that quickly and know, then that's going to be something that gives us an amazing advantage.
Yeah, so how
hopefully
long do you
that
wait
can
now?
Be implemented. Right now, it's all varied. I mean, the state of Connecticut tests as well. We send it off to Quest or anything like that. It takes some take a couple of days. Some can be delayed as long as a week. Oh. So really, it's intermittent based on how many tests have been sent that day and all that.
Man, that's just crazy to think. I mean, but it's the truth. Like, you guys at the hospital, you probably can't. Do you have diagnostics there where you can get that information, or do you have to send it off?
So we still right now have to send it off and make sure that we can confirm it with a larger laboratory. And a lot of these institutions are trying to get their own testing in-house again. But because every hospital pretty in America surging so much, it's difficult to provide those type of resources right now. But I know that everybody's developing something to be able to test in-house.
Well, I hope that that happens, because that would be a massive game changer. So I'd be remiss, man, if I didn't bring up to you the whole anti-inflammatory, the NSAID drugs like ibuprofen, things like that, that have kind of started to show up. Yeah. I know that the World Health Organization a few weeks ago, or was it last week even, actually, now I think about it, tweeted that they finally think that we shouldn't be, you know, if you're, long story short, the ibuprofen or any anti-inflammatory seems to make the virus worse in people. And people who have died, it's actually, isn't it like one of the things that is kind of a common denominator is that they've all been on ibuprofen, or some of them have, or a lot of them have, or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So this is new coming out, but honestly, it makes a lot of sense when you understand it, and I'll explain it to you guys. So, you know, ibuprofen and Aleve and Motrin, all these drugs fall under the class of NSAIDs, right? So NSAIDs, and which is non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And what these drugs do, again, is prevent inflammation, right? So if you sprained your ankle and that thing's swelling up, you take, you know, two Motrin or, you know, two Aleve, and the swelling will start to go down because it's an anti-inflammatory. It's taking away inflammation. Unfortunately, COVID-19 produces an inflammatory pneumonia, right? And it promotes an inflammatory response in the lungs. And so what the lungs are trying to do is, once this virus enters the lungs, it induces this inflammatory pneumonia to try to control it and prevent it from spreading. However, if you take that body's natural reaction of inflaming something away, then this will just start to progress much faster. So that's the issue that's going on now with staying away from ibuprofen and all these NSAIDs, is that you don't want to give an anti-inflammatory to something that your body's trying to inflame all of this virus in your lungs and control it and mitigate it. Instead, you're shutting down your body's only way to try to fight this thing. So that's why they're saying, hey, let's start to stay away from these NSAIDs, just so this pneumonia doesn't progress to the point where you do need a ventilator, where, and, you know, it does lead to increased mortality. So that's kind of as the mechanism behind how that works.
Yeah, and Jeffy, he asked me earlier when I was talking to Jeff about this before the show, and I said, yeah, I think Aleve's fine, but Aleve is not fine, is it?
Really?
Yeah, no, Aleve's also a part of the NSAID category as well, so I would stay away from all anti-inflammatories, really, until more
studies. No anti-inflammatories. What about, like, turmeric?
Yeah, so turmeric and all those natural anti-inflammatories, I think those are fine. Again, there's not much studies on what's going on, but, you know, I think one thing with turmeric is that, given the fact that it's a little bit more natural than that, it doesn't have such a drastic effect. You know, it's not like turmeric can suddenly take down a fever like Motrin or Aleve can. So, you know, I wouldn't worry really about the natural things, at least yet, until the studies are out. But really, like, the drugs itself of anti-inflammatories is what's recommended to kind of stay away from, at least for now.
There is some study actually going on right now with, you know, listen, so it's, I don't hide out in the show. I have a family who, you know, some members who are very into naturopaths type stuff and things like that. And there's actually a study going on that elderberry is really helps feed the virus as well. Have you seen anything like that?
Oh, wow. No, I haven't jumped into the naturopath game. You know, I've been trying to follow up with the CDC and the Italy cases and trying to build this,
right?
You know,
if you,
yeah, a lot. So I'm like, oh, you know, trying to be like detective here and being like, huh, what can work? What can't work? But yeah, no, I think it's important. And I'm glad that we have naturopaths looking into these things, because at this point, again, like I said previously, we need all hands on deck. If we have any advantage, if we can get any advantage against this thing, it's better than nothing. So if elderberry works, hopefully a study comes out and we see some good results, then elderberry for everybody. You know?
Oh, I think just the opposite. The elderberry is having the same effect as, like, the...
oh, it's the same effect. Okay, I didn't hear that part.
It's elderberry is anti-inflammatory.
Then take it away. No,
yeah.
Anybody. No. That's funny. Yeah, no, so hopefully not. Again, a lot of these things, because it's such a fast-developing virus, there's so many new things coming out,
right?
And we can only do studies so fast, so it's really difficult to kind of keep up with everything.
So, as your professional opinion, and I say this with the word opinion highlighted and bolded here, what do you think we're thinking,
man? Yeah, with an asterisk.
Are we thinking 2 months, 3 months? What do you think?
Yeah, man. You know, I at least in my heart, I feel like we need to at least lay low for another 2 months, at least, to make sure that we flatten this curve that I'm talking about that you see everywhere. We need to flatten this epidemiologic curve and prevent our healthcare systems from getting overwhelmed. And I think if we practice these behaviors for another 2 months, we will be in a much better place than we thought. However, with these rumors going around that, you know, mid-April, Trump's like, hey, business is back open, I think that's going to be one that's going to cost a lot of lives and get a lot of people sick. So hopefully that does not actually get implemented.
Well, just because I try to be as fair as humanly possible here, that's not exactly what he said. But, I mean, he did say similar, but he's talking about places like West Virginia where there's only 8 cases, or big spots of, like, North Dakota, like, get those places up and running where there's not a lot of cases of people going on. He wasn't talking about, like, New York City being open.
Yeah, but if we get those places up and running, they're going to be like New York City.
Exactly. That's exactly what – yeah, that was a follow-up. So, you know, if you don't have enough cases, even if you have one, even if you have one asymptomatic carrier that walks into a business with 10 people in it, then those 10 people will infect another, and within 3 days you have 300, 400 people infected. So, you know, it'll just be somewhere where – and in those places, I mean, I've had a lot of people that – I've had friends that travel and they do locum emergency medicine work. I mean, those places don't have hospitals for – 60 miles each way. So if something were to happen in those rural areas and you up those rural areas where you don't have emergency care, it's over. I mean, that entire state will be in the greatest threat of its existence. So again, I don't think, you know, no matter what state it's in, you gotta practice that safety. You gotta lock it down.
Lock it down.
Yeah.
Dave, you had a pretty good question.
You know, a lot of these,
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, Faraz.
So the last thing I wanted to say is, you know, today I was watching this intensivist ICU doctor making like a plea to America saying, shut it down, like shut everything down and keep it locked down until it all disappears. And so that plea really kind of resonated with me and kind of got me fired up and being like, we got to keep this locked down. I know businesses are tough. I know everything's going on, but, you know, it's really, we really got to balance between is the economy important or are our lives important, you know, so. That's my last little blip about that.
Listen, you're absolutely right. And I'm not afraid of getting sick. I'm not so much afraid of the virus. Listen, you know me. I'm an Adonis-like motherfucker. Like, I'm a beast. no, I'm kidding, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more afraid of it becoming of the civil unrest that could possibly happen and things like that's what scares me. That's what I mean. Which so far we're a long ways away from that ever happening. But that's the part that worries me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, you know, that's where I hope we can trust our government and trust the armed forces that we have in all branches and just kind of keep that going. Again, on your guys' front, I can't imagine. I mean, you know, kind of just hearing like everybody in the food industry, all my friends, you know, I have a lot of friends that are bartenders, waiters, and they're like, hey, I mean, we have nothing and rent is due. And sure, you can kind of, you know, forbear that for another month or so, but we still got to eat. We still got to pay for things. And I can't imagine. And so unless something large happens, I totally understand. I mean, that would just be the natural progression, unfortunately, of society itself.
Well, it's 100% decimated our industry. And it's, you know, here's the thing. It'll come back. It'll always will come back. But, you know, coming back isn't dealing with right now, you know. And right now there's a lot of people who are hurting who are still trying to figure out what the fuck's going to happen tomorrow, you know, whereas, you know, listen, people in our industry, they don't, believe it or not, they don't have a lot of plans for the future.
Really? That's interesting. It's interesting to say that.
Believe it or not. I didn't start making one until I was 40, so. And I've got 25 years in this business. Dave, you had a pretty good question, man, that you wanted to ask Faraz. You were telling me before we got on. I thought it was a pretty relevant question.
I got probably like two, but I'll start with that one. So everybody seems to be really confused on airborne versus droplet-borne. I know droplet-borne is a sneeze and it travels, but how long does that last?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, you know, we're using both precautions, right? We're using droplet precautions, which is make sure you got gloves on and a gown on in case somebody sneezes on you, and airborne, right, which is where the N95 masks come on and everything. Right now, there's 50-50 right now. The medical community split where both things are supported. Really, the studies are starting to go more towards this is droplet more so than airborne. In the healthcare setting, of course, when you have people on ventilators and things like that, what we're doing is aerosolizing or putting this into as air, small air particles into the air, just because these ventilators create that air. So unfortunately for us, we end up being exposed to this virus in the smallest form that there is, which is airborne. Again, in terms of if you're walking through a Target and someone sneezes and you walk by, there's studies more and more showing that that's less likely to be transmitted, more so the biggest route of transmission that they're starting to see based on a doctor based out of Cornell, actually. I just heard his study today, is that it's from really touching a surface and then touching your face. That is the number one way. So he was very confident. He was so confident to say, I know I'll never get this virus because I will never do that. So he's prevented from, he just stopped himself from touching his face unless his hands are clean. So that's starting to support a little bit more of a droplet precaution than it is airborne. But again, you know, everybody just has to be as safe as possible. Right now, again, everything's changing so quickly, but it's starting to become a little bit more droplet than it is airborne.
Dave, can I just tag that really quick before you get to your second question?
Yeah.
And Faraz, we're sorry to keep you up late. I know it's late night, but this is when chefs talk.
No worries. Yeah.
So the other week, I guess it was, 2 weeks ago, Jeff, when Joe Rogan had that doctor on from the CDC?
Yeah.
Faraz, I don't know if you listen to any podcasts or not, but Joe Rogan's show is a fantastic program, and he had this doctor on from the CDC right when this was kind of becoming a thing. And really fantastic program. So informative. It's when I started taking it seriously. It's literally when I started, okay, I need to make sure I have a few things here in the house and make sure I have gasoline for the generator. And it was probably about a week, 10 days before it all started hitting. And he was saying that their biggest fear was that, I'm trying to make sure the wording was right. Basically, he was saying, if you're in a cab with someone who has it, you're going to get it.
Yeah. And really, the biggest thing is that if you're in an exposed area, small, confined area, for 15 to 30 minutes, then you're going to get it. Unfortunately, that is starting to become a little bit more true. And is that relying on, hey, this is because it's an airborne particle that's traveling in the air, or is it because you touched the seat that they're touching and then you scratched your nose real quick and you inhaled it? That's, the jury's still out on that. But honestly, that is pretty true. If you're with someone in a small area for greater than 15 minutes, the likeliness of you having it, if they're a positive carrier of it, or they test positive of it, is definitely high. So that is a worrisome situation.
Dude, I'll tell you, you sound like a guy
who does his homework. Which is why social distancing is so important.
Yeah. You sound like a guy who does his homework and does a lot of research. If you haven't heard it, you should definitely check it out, because it happened beforehand, and this dude is all over it.
Awesome. This guy, I actually did hear it on the way to New York. I was going to visit my brother, and I believe that gentleman's name was Michael Osterholm.
Osterholm,
he used to be, and so I did listen to it, and that's when, you're right, similar to you, I started getting a little bit worried, and I'm like, oh man, really, this is that bad?
Yeah.
Because even the medical community wasn't aware of that much. We're like, oh, okay, something's going on, yep, there's a couple cases, but really, until you start to see it yourself, you're like, oh, this is much worse than we thought. And I remember hearing that podcast and being like, oh yeah, it'll blow over, and now being like, wow, a lot of people misjudged the severity of this.
And just to point out, this is like it or not, podcasts are mainstream media now. I mean, Joe Rogan talks to more people than 2020, the CBS Evening News. He talks to more people in one podcast than those shows ever could. It's remarkable. It's crazy.
Oh, absolutely. And people feel comfortable in that setting. It's not as pressure. You could be a little bit more yourself. And it's just a more comfortable environment, and it makes sense. And really, he did a really good show, that episode, at least the one that I did catch.
Yeah.
So it was impressive. It was impressive to realize what the facts are.
It's crazy. And people are loving this pop-up shows we're doing, because it's totally off topic for what we normally do. But we're trying to get guys who are way smarter than we are on here to help explain things. Dave, what was your second question, brother?
All right. Well, as chefs, we get injured. Say I lob the tip of my finger off. What do I do at this point? Because I know the emergency rooms are slammed.
Hey, man. I'll still fill the tip of your finger back on, man. That doesn't stop. But, it's still emergency cases still come in that are non coronavirus, you know. Really, and you can't avoid that, right? Like, that happens all the time. I'm still suturing people up, at least when I see my patients and things like that. It's just done the way, same way emergency medicine is done. Unfortunately, the wait times and things like that are a little bit more increased because we have such a load. But, you know, normal things like that still happen. So either, you know, emergency medicine or urgent care, wherever you feel suffice, things like that are still going to happen, unfortunately, and we need to manage everything. You know, it's not like coronavirus. One thing that somebody very, very close to me that's in medicine said, like, it's not like, you know, suddenly coronavirus came and stroke stopped happening and heart attack stopped happening. And it's true, right? You're seeing all these coronavirus patients and then, oh, somebody had a stroke or somebody had a heart attack, and that still exists. So that's why it's so overwhelming, is because there's everything else in emergency medicine going on as well, in addition to this, and not just emergency medicine, but then, you know, the cardiologist, the gastroenterologist, everybody that's involved, general surgeons, ICU, it all gets overwhelmed. But no matter what, you know, you lob your finger off, you got to come. And that's not something you can deal with at home by yourself, you know?
Jeff, I love Faraz. This is like one of the most informative things I've had so far. Like, this is amazing.
He's really giving it to us straight. And I, he's like a, you trust Faraz when he's giving it to you, you know, he's right. Like saying it to you, you know, he's like in there and in it. I really appreciate your time, man.
Well, I feel like when he's talking, like when he's just telling that story, I feel like he's going to finish that story and then break into a song. Like, I feel like he's starting a music video, right? You know,
Have you been writing anything for the coronavirus? Have you got any coronavirus?
I haven't gotten a chance to write a coronavirus song, man. I think anytime I come home, I'm like, whoa. Yeah, I gotta write it. You know what? I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start now. I'm gonna start writing something.
Damn right.
Yeah, it'd be a sad fucking song from your perspective, though. I mean, it would be like.
It's gonna be a song to rally the troops against it. You know, we're gonna win. We're gonna win against this. It's just gonna come out of
absolutely. Can I ask your opinion on one thing about? Have you followed anything about New York City? Like, have you been following just the amount of the numbers right now in New York? Are kind of like,
yeah, I've been following numbers, and then a lot of my friends are down there as well. So they all practice down there. So New York is scary stuff, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, because what you're saying, it's like, I mean, if it spreads that easily and they're at 17,800 some odd cases as of this morning when I was looking at it, I mean, we're talking like a few hundred thousand people probably have it or possibly could have it. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely correct. Yes. Because of just how close quarters New York is and that population density. Of course, absolutely, you're right, 100%.
There's like, what's that? I mean, that shuts New York down for a hot minute, right? I mean, that's like, I'm just like, you know, my head's spinning right now. You laid some real heavy shit on us, and then I'm like, and I'm just branching off with the stuff that I'm thinking about with my day-to-day, and like all my brothers and sisters out there who are in New York, like Dave, you know, and it's like, you know, they really need to lay low. I mean, they definitely shouldn't be going on the subway at all, right? I mean, that's like...
No. I mean, you know,
subway,
you're absolutely right, yeah. No.
Yeah, like
you hear that, guys? Limit, like, you know, you're out there. Can't stop life going on, but you have to try to be as safe as possible. I mean, I have my brother out there and my sister-in-law and my little nephew, and I'm like, guys, you got to just be as big of a couch potato as you can right now. While still surviving, you know, unfortunately, again, the money still needs to be made and everything still needs to happen. So it's really a catch-22, but it's just about doing it as safe as possible.
Man.
Yeah, I agree, man. And even if it's not you that you're worried about, like Plum, you know, we're not worried about Plum because of his strong constitution.
Damn right. Like,
nothing will ever happen to him. But we're worried, like, if he gets it, you know, he's going to kill, like, how many people that he doesn't know who love him because he's a global icon and a national treasure.
Thank you.
They'll come along and they'll just want to touch him and not realize that he's a carrier because he looks so great even though he's sick. And he's dropping people like flies. I mean, that's what's really scary, right? It's like, you don't know.
Right, and that's why the social distancing is so important, and that's why it initially spread so much is – You just don't know. You
it
don't
wasn't
know.
My fault, Ross. Yeah, because it's not like I did it.
Chef Bomb, this is COVID-19 is your fault. I'm so sorry.
Patient 00.
COVID-19. I've got another question, actually.
Oh, okay, Dave. Yeah. Sure. We're going to keep Ross up all night.
Sorry. Just one more. So autoimmunes. I have Lyme disease and thyroid disease. If I get coronavirus,
he has AIDS too.
Is that going to hit me hard?
So anybody that's immunocompromised, of course, right? If your body's already fighting something else, you know, thyroid, we really haven't seen any studies on how it affects thyroid individuals. But, you know, if you have a co-infection, like let's say you have COVID-19 and you're already fighting Lyme disease, of course, your body's going to be a little bit more susceptible to that pneumonia developing to a little bit more of a higher complication rate, just simply because, again, if you look at all your white blood cells in your body and all these infection fighters, and if they're kind of battling something and now something totally new comes along, it's going to be harder. And then that's why, you know, anybody that's immunocompromised in these ways, I mean, cancer patients, smokers with the lung issues that they have, really any cardiopulmonary disease in general, it really does hit them hard, and that's where they're the highest risk for developing complications.
Man. So, Dave, wow. Stay the hell home.
I left the apartment today for, like, the first time in 13 days.
Get your shit delivered. Well, Amazon, baby.
Amazon is not delivering anymore.
Yeah, they are. They deliver to me.
Yeah, okay, but come to New York, and then you're going to wait 7 days for your groceries.
Well, you got to plan ahead, chef.
Fair enough.
Bro.
That's all you got to do.
What are you talking about, bro?
That's it. So,
and you can live on rice and beans, bro.
That's
come
right.
On, man. I can live on rice and beans.
That's all you got to do. So, Faraz, a totally off-topic question for you, man, as a healthcare professional, something I've always wanted to ask that I'd never ask. As a chef, and I know I can speak for Dave, I'm guessing I can probably speak for Jeff, too. There's times in our lives where we haven't had insurance, and I'm not going to lie, I've given myself stitches once or twice in my life. How bad of an idea is that?
Wow, that's impressive. That's pretty terrible. Yeah. I mean, the infection rate is pretty high.
You pour fucking bourbon on it, you're good.
I heard bourbon sanitizes wounds.
I can't argue with it. I mean, you got to do grain alcohol. It's the purest that you can get if you want to throw liquor on there. But that's impressive. I'm surprised it hasn't gotten infected, man. But I think you're doing something right.
I did it in my thumb probably back in 1998. I gave myself 3 stitches in my thumb.
All really? Right. What did you
solve a quick
with?
Debate?
Wait, what'd you say?
Can you solve the debate?
Oh, there we go.
No. A debate. Go ahead. I was going to say the debate is you could pee on it if you had to.
Oh, Jesus. Can we get the real answer first?
Oh, yeah. I was just intrigued on what you stitched yourself with because that's impressive.
Oh, I used braided fishing line.
I've used dental floss.
Oh.
Dental floss works too.
Wow. Yep.
I used a 25 pound test fishing line, and I pulled the threads apart on the braid, and used one of the threads to do it.
Oh, shit.
Wow, that's impressive. Hopefully, it wasn't used fishing line.
No, it was brand new from Walmart.
I used whatever they used at the hospital because they did it there. That's where I went.
Have you ever done it, Jeff? I've done it.
Nice job.
That's no, man, I don't want to stitch myself. I was pierced all over my body, but I never went and was like, hey, piercer buddy, do me a favor. Stitch this up. Kid.
No, let me tell you what I did. So it was literally cut myself. Ow, that hurts. It won't stop bleeding. Huh, what do we do? Super glue is not holding it. Let's go to Walmart. Oh, they don't sell things to suture yourself with. Fishing line's here. Let's use that. How are we going to numb it? Oragel. That works. So we used Oragel and fishing line.
Oh, that's genius.
That's some apocalyptic medicine that you're practicing. That's
I was
impressive.
A heavy drinker then.
I'm very impressed.
There was a lot of stuff.
The alcohol in your bloodstream definitely helped prevent that infection.
Well, they were pretty clean. So I'll tell you what, pulling them out, they bled when they came out, but I still have the scar from it. I'll show you next time I see you, but it was 3 right in the thumb.
Yeah, I
nice.
Need to see this.
Right in the
thumb. Well, I mean, Roz, you realize that Plum is always the 5th or 6th person everyone calls when they're sick. you know, like just to find out what he thinks. And he always has a great, like, he always knows because he's watched so many hospital shows. Like, he'll always give me like good feedback. Like, he'll be like, he'll be like, all right, well, this is what they're gonna do. And he'll be pretty close. You know, like he'll tell me exactly how to talk to the doctor.
Listen, there's a few procedures I feel comfortable doing. I could definitely put a trach tube in. I could definitely give breast implants. I could definitely do. Remember the Science Discovery Health that was on? I used to watch the surgery shows all the time. Let me tell you what, Faraz. Here's how it goes. This is a quick story. So my wife was pregnant with the twins. Obviously, I was a part of every appointment and everything like that. And her OBGYN and I had a really good relationship. And so we were at an appointment once, and I said to her, I said, "So, doc, listen, I'm a chef for a long time. Like, I've taken apart a lot of animals. I would argue I've probably cut into more muscle tissue than you probably have in your career. Everything has basically the same structure. So when we go and do this," my wife was having a C-section, I said, "What are the chances I can make the first incision?" And she looked at me. She looked at my wife, and she goes, "Let's see when we get there." And my wife was like, "No, absolutely not." Oh, it gets better. So then we're in the operating room. This is a true story, gentlemen. We're in the operating room. My wife is now numb from whatever down, or the neck down or whatever from the spinal, and her arms are out, and she's getting ready to have a C-section for the babies. And I'm there with her wearing my gown and everything right up by her head. And the doctor looks at me. I'm not saying her name on purpose. The doctor looks at me and she lifts a scalpel up and reaches over the drape and goes, "Okay, chef, you ready?" And Kelly lost her shit. She was like, "Absolutely not." And I was like, "Thank you, doctor." I told her, I said, "Look, I've seen every episode of ER. I mean, post-Dr. Carter and pre-Dr. Carter. I've seen most of Grey's Anatomy, and I watched a lot of Discovery Science, and I've taken apart a lot of animals. I feel confident I could make that first incision without going too deep."
"That I could make that first incision."
It's just like corn tomato. I put the scalpel on my finger.
See how that went, but I'm glad.
You know, obviously I didn't do it, but she was like, "I'm just kidding."
Yeah.
My wife was like, "I'm never coming to you again."
Like, well, and that's the last time we saw her.
That was the last time.
Yeah, I don't go to Plum for too much medical advice anymore, because the day I found the tick, I'm like, "What do I do?" He's like, "You'll be fine. Rub some dirt on it." So I was like, "All right."
That's not what he said. listen.
And then,
well, Faraz, you are the man, brother. I love you. The fact that you took some time to hang out with us tonight. We miss you. I haven't seen you in too long. And as soon as this is all done, I can't wait to see you and give you a big hug and get you out to the Hamptons with us to be a part of our project. You've been so forthcoming with all this stuff. In closing, before we get you out of here, man, I know we've kept you on for a long time. You got to work tomorrow, by the way?
No, thankfully, I'm off tomorrow.
Oh,
I work the next couple days after that.
You're up all night with us. You drinking? Because we're drinking.
No, I'm zenning out. I'm doing some yoga, you know, some candles, chilling out in my
I hate how he's
zone.
Better than me, Jeffy. I hate that. I'm like five Guinness cans in, you know? And I have a candle lit, so that's kind of zen.
I only had one glass of wine, and I drank a cup of coffee and water.
All right,
I have a liter of tequila in front of me.
And Dave's doing lines of coke as we talk.
No, tequila. You can't do lines of tequila.
They call it something different in Detroit. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, in closing, Faraz, so let me ask you, man, what can people do to help? Yeah. How can we help get these masks to you guys? How can we help get these things like the gowns? Is there anything we can do that you know of?
I mean, the biggest thing, and I mean, of course, the masks are important. Of course, the protective equipment is important. The biggest thing that I would ask, if I have any audience whatsoever, is that to just make sure, as a country, we do not end this quarantining and this social distancing too early. That's the biggest thing I ask. So if there's an elected official in your state that's like, "Hey, you know what? Let's go back to work in 2 weeks from now," just know that, hey, Faraz told me that that's a bad idea, and I hope that I have some credibility in saying that, and I would just hope that everybody can prevent that from happening, because as long as we do that, then at the end of the day, we'll be able to meet our supply with what we have, our gowns, our masks, and everything like that, because less people will have it and we will not overwhelm the community, and overall we'll keep our country safe. So that's the most important thing. That's my biggest takeaway from all this, man, is just everybody stay home as long as they possibly can and prevent us from going back to normal life too early and then making a mistake.
Love it. That's good advice, man. That's good advice. Jeff, throw a plug out there for him before we get him out of here.
Absolutely, man. If you want to follow him and see his beautiful face on Instagram, you're going to go to @FurOzzy.
He is a good-looking guy, isn't he?
Follow, give him some likes. Beautiful man. Ugh. Beautiful man. And then he is the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
So if you want to listen to him sing and woo you or your lady, you hit him the search on Spotify. Look up Faraz Sabir.
Absolutely.
Check out his jam, 6 a.m. It's the jam, literally.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, as I go to bed tonight with my earphones in, I'm going to check out some of his stuff on Spotify. I'm going to play it. That's my plan. Dave, you should do the same thing, brother. Faraz got some great music, bro.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you guys so much, man. Yeah. I appreciate being on here.
Faraz, you're the man.
And the coronavirus ballad is coming soon.
That's right. Real soon. Real soon. Faraz, bro, we can't thank you enough for your time, man. We wish you all the success. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see you again, like I said, and give you a big hug. Listen, we may need you again here. We're not sure how long this is going to go, and we're going to keep doing these pop-up shows and try to spread good info to people.
Hey, man, let me know. You know, if whenever I'm off, I'm more than willing to come on and talk to you guys, man. I think it's important that we have these conversations because this is what will help us move forward and beyond this.
Yo, you are the man, bro. And literally, do me a favor. Please take care of yourself. Please be safe. And I know you want to help people, but you can't help people if you're down and out. So take care of yourself first, please, okay?
Thanks, man. I appreciate all you guys. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, guys. Absolutely. There he goes, Faraz Sabir. The man, the myth, the legend. What a great guy. I mean, Dave, literally, the man answered every question, like, thoroughly and honestly, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely an expert. Let's get him two mics.
He's thinking he's two. I got your joke. It took me a minute, but hell yeah, he does need two mics. I mean, Jeff, literally, I think he couldn't have been more thorough.
Absolutely. He's got a mic and a clipboard, several Sharpies. He does a lot of stuff. He definitely has a stethoscope.
Oh yeah.
He sings like an angel. I mean, the fact that he writes his own music, is singing this awesome stuff, and then the other half of his life, he's in the emergency room.
Right.
I would never think that an emergency room doctor has energy to do anything else. I mean, right. It's got to be a very draining job, you know? It's like you're always on the go. It's like probably high stress at times. And, you know, I don't know, man. And he's such a cool guy. Like, he's always ready to party. Like, when we were hanging out at Santa Q, he was having a blast with us. We saw him at Mohegan. He was ready to get down. They're out of the club. I mean, he's a fun dude. And
what a smart guy, man. Huh?
And he's like, I know. And then the boot, he's like a fucking genius. I'm like, great.
I mean, bro, he started talking, and I was like, whoa, this dude's doing homework, no doubt.
Absolutely.
I think he did a lot of homework just to get the job that he's at, so definitely.
The PA is no joke, man.
No, not at all. Like I said, they do way more than doctors do. Doctors, they write prescriptions pretty much. The PAs do everything else.
I wanted to ask him what's like the weirdest injury he's seen. God damn it.
It's probably like something stuck in some sort of orifice. That would be like the weirdest, I would think.
Dave, see, that's where you go first with your weird shit.
That is weird. Like, you get a light bulb in a certain area.
Stuff you've ever seen.
Yes, it's weird shit.
Yeah, you, Dave. Weirdest things you've ever peed in.
All right, check it out. Listen, we're going to play a quick break. We're going to regroup, and we're going to come back and put a bow on this whole entire program. Is that cool, gentlemen? You got 5 more minutes? 10 more minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 more minutes.
All right, let's do it. When we come back, we're going to put a bow on this show and get on down the road. So you guys stay right there checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Chef Plum, Chef Dave, and Chef Jeff. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Jackfruit, Jeffy. It's honestly the best vegan food I've ever had.
No doubt. We learned all about it on our trip in Mexico this year.
Hey, it's Chef Plum and Chef Jeff from Plum Love Foods Live talking Upton's Naturals.
Upton's Naturals is an independently owned natural foods company with a focus on meat alternatives and vegan values since opening in 2006.
Hey, that's right. Now Upton's has launched the first-to-market seasoned, ready-to-eat jackfruit in the whole United States.
With great flavors like Thai curry, original, sweet and smoky, sriracha, chili lime, barbecue. Man, I am getting hungry.
Well, you haven't eaten in 12 minutes, so that makes sense. Try it, man. This stuff is great. Amazing tacos, sandwiches, you name it.
I'm still hungry.
Yeah, me too now.
Upton Naturals, available now on Amazon.com, ThriveMarket.com, RabbitFood.com, and more.
And of course, check out UptonsNaturals.com. Let's get some tacos.
I love tacos.
Me too.
Love Love Foods Live. Serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard seltzer, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS. I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
Plum Love Foods on a Wednesday. Quarantine, living the dream on a pop-up number four, gentlemen. This is the fourth pop-up quarantine show we've done, man. I think it's been kind of fun, actually. It's like a creative outlet.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like a creative outlet.
And we're getting some good information out there. Literally, this program has had everything from a pharmacist to Homeland Security to a guy on the front lines in the ER to a nurse. I mean, literally, we're trying to get information out there to help you guys. We're trying to make some jokes in the process. But get that information out there, because there's a lot of bad info out there. I mean, Dave, you've seen some of it.
I don't know what to believe anymore, because there's so many contradictions and bad info out there. So yeah. Tonight definitely helped.
It's great when we have good brothers and sisters on this program that we can reach out to help out like that and, you know, get some info. Tomorrow night, a little bit different, back to the regular format. We got Lindsay Katie Santoro on. She is one of the most connected individuals that we know, Jeffy.
Dude, she knows everybody from Snoop Dogg to Bobby Flay. She could probably holler at him. And she's like the most down to earth normal person you've ever met in your life.
Like, no doubt about
on
it.
Top of being able to do, I mean, I had so much fun judging Elite Chef with her. I thought she was just a blast, and I'm super excited to get her on the show so she can share all about what it is that she does, because it's crazy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And also tomorrow night, we're going to have a little interview piece with Good Day New York. It's the number one morning show in America, in market number one. Good Day New York on Fox 5 New York. Their entertainment reporter and friend of the show, good brother, Ryan Christopher, makes his return to the program as he's out in the field still, Dave. He's out there still interviewing people and doing shit amidst all this nonsense going on in New York City. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. I mean, if anybody could do it, it would be Ryan, for sure.
He's an animal, man, and he's doing a great job. He's really killing it out there in New York. I love him. He's my brother. I give him so much respect, though, because he's out there still doing this, and you know, I wanted to talk to him about what he's doing safety-wise and, you know, precautionary-wise. And, you know, Ryan, I mean, Jeffy, he wants to be on the show live with us, but he can't because he gets up at 1:30 in the morning or whatever to go to work. So we're going to have to pre-record that.
Too much.
Yeah. It'll be a little pre-recorded interview. Just, I think it'd be interesting for you guys to hear that side of it before we talk to Lindsay tomorrow night.
What day is it tomorrow?
Thursday, Chef.
Okay, thank you.
As I pop the top here on another cold Guinness. Listen, you guys, I thank you guys, too, for taking time to be on the program. Dave, you and Jeffy, to do these things with us and help us get this information out here and spend this time with me. I appreciate it, because I'd go nuts right now if I didn't have you guys.
I appreciate you. Yeah, man.
You know, Jeff,
I love being on.
Listen to Faraz and listen to all the experts we've had on right now. What do you think, man? What's your looking into your Jeffy crystal ball? How long we got of this?
Well, I think it's going to really depend on where you live and how fast they lock down everywhere now. Because I think from what I heard from Faraz and all the numbers that I'm looking at, you know, New York is definitely an epicenter. There's some spots in L.A., some spots in Washington.
Well, let me just kind of chime in really quick. So literally, yeah. New York has 36,000 cases or something like that. It's the number one spot in America. Number two is
that
I think it's
the
Washington
whole state.
Is it Washington still? I think, Dave.
Yeah, the whole state, but more than half of those are in New York City.
Yeah, yeah, but Washington, it's the closest, the number two, the closest is 3,000.
That's
yeah,
crazy. Their death rate percentage is actually higher than a lot of places, I think, too.
Well,
New York is
10 times.
The thing about New York is it's highly condensed, but the thing about New York is that a lot of people come to New York to go home to other places around New York,
right.
Pennsylvania,
everybody comes
and New Jersey. So, and even further, I mean, there's delivery drivers that have been coming to New York from all over the country,
yeah.
You know, and I don't think we've even begun to see it crest. I think we just scratched the beginning of a pandemic. I think people are like, oh man, I've been here for 10 days and I'm so bored. I'm like, we need to start thinking about this in terms of like weeks and weeks. And especially in places like New York, like I'm scared that we're going to be in the house for a long time, or at least around the house. I mean, good news is we're going to start busting in some big projects. Hopefully, that'll be great.
Well, as of right now, we have 65,000 confirmed cases in New York, 1,000 deaths roughly in the U.S., and I think the numbers are only going to go up. I think that we're going to hit several hundred thousand cases. That's my guess.
I legitimately believe we have 6 more months of this shit.
You think it's that much, huh?
Yeah, because nobody's taking it serious. So,
I don't think
Blasio said more than half of New Yorkers are probably going to get it.
Yeah, it's like I've been told today. It's like, well, if you live in New York, just consider yourself infected.
Wow. Well, I think that. I don't know, man. I think that, in my personal opinion, from all the numbers I've been reading, and I've tried to pay attention to everything because I've got nothing else to do right now, I think we'll still get a summer. I do. I think things will start to be a little bit more reminiscent of normal. Maybe not everywhere, but reminiscent of normal in June. I do think that.
I don't think... Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, our problem was the normal. That's why we're like this now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going to hate on the country, man, for that. I mean, no one could have ever predicted what was going to happen. There's just no way. I mean, anyone could have ever predicted this was going to happen. There were so many other things that were so far ahead of, oh, it's going to be a virus pandemic in our country. There were so many things we were worried about ahead of that, I mean, that's never even crossed my mind.
Oh, definitely. But you got to think, we had 2 major warnings from China and Italy a month before it even got to us.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. You're right, but you know, it's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. I mean, Jeff, literally Faraz is texting me saying he loves you guys as well. Can't wait to see this is all over.
Thanks,
actually, it's like grab some food and drinks together. He can't wait to get
love
a nice
that.
Bear hug from all of us. He says,
"Fuck yeah,
I love that."
He really enjoyed the conversation, I think. So, you know, listen, I hope so. That's all I can say, man, is I hope so. I just hope so. I mean, I can tell you people where I live are taking it damn serious. And there is nobody outside. I mean, people are in their yards and whatnot. But I mean, like, on the roads and all that shit. There's nobody outside. Jeff, what are the Hamptons like? Are people out and about?
Yeah. Not out and about, but there's definitely... Every day that I'm in the grocery store, that I have to go to the grocery store, there's a ton of people in the grocery store. It's like... a ton of people. I'm always blown away. And not everyone deals with the 6 feet thing. Like, I'm like one of those guys who's like, all right, excuse me, I'll just wait back here. Then I'll go in and grab my orange or whatever it is I was going to get. And then there's people who like don't sit, like, you know, like there's like an older guy in line in front of me. So I stood back like a cart and then my cart, you know, I like that kind of space to be like friendly.
Right.
And some lady tried to like scoop in and I was like, no, I'm in line. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like they did. Like, and I think, like, you know, Frost said it earlier, that New Yorkers are so used to just like any little bit of space is like, if, you know, if someone's not using that space, exactly, everyone's looking to jump in. And I think people need to just really like take a deep motherfucking breath and step back a little bit and realize that this shit is crazy, man. And if you got it, and like Dave said, if you just consider yourself
infected. And if you're infected, stay home for 14 days and don't go anywhere and try to get what you can delivered and try to just like do what you can. I mean, I get it. You have kids and you don't have enough food there and you didn't have anything stocked up and you need to get some stuff, but maybe just grab a couple things and have some stuff to lay low and keep your, you know, movements really, really quick, you know, someplace to get whatever it is you need and get back and just try to chill.
I have to go tomorrow. We've been going once a week and I have to go tomorrow. I mean, it's just the way I have to get food. And I'm not stockpiling. I'm not going crazy buying a shit ton of food. Like, I have to go and do our regular grocery shopping tomorrow. And, you know, the good news is our stores are nowhere near as busy here where I live. But I have to go. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. And like I said, I just think people need to be safe. Like, when I go, I don't have, like, an whatever mask. I just wrap a bandana around my face so that way I'm not getting anybody spittle on me. And I'm not touching my face, you know, like, 'cause, you know, you itch yourself but without thinking sometimes. And, you know, at least I'm not touching my face when I'm in there touching things in the store. And I wear a pair of gloves also to kind of remind me to not touch myself. And, like, that I'm in a place that's, you know, not exactly safe. And then I try to, like, hand sanitize before I get back in my car. Get the gloves off, hand sanitize, get in the car. And then as soon as I get back to the house, I wash my hands really, really well. And I try to keep that kind of protocol, change my shoes, change your coat, leave your coat in one area. Like, you know, it can live on all sorts of shit, man. And it's like, you got to take it serious. It's just fucking, you know, it's a scary time. And we don't want to, I mean, if those numbers and those projections are right, like, that's a lot of New Yorkers dead. You know, even at a 1% death rate, that's still a lot of New Yorkers. That's still a lot of people dying. That's like everybody's going to know somebody that had died, and their families are all going to be affected, and the ripples from that are going to be intense. I mean, now, and let alone all the financial shit that's going on. So, I mean, you know, we got to just be responsible, guys. Like, I don't know. I hate to get so serious. It's hitting really close to home here in New York for me. You know, it's like I have a lot of friends and family that I love, and I'm just making the head spin.
No, I think you're 100% right. Dave, go ahead.
I will say I noticed one thing today when I had to go get groceries. Like, there are grocery stores taking precautions with the cart thing. They have, like, 6-foot blue tape lines. So it's, like, every 6 foot, there's a line of blue tape. And it's, like, this is where your cart is. This is where your cart is. And, I mean, it does seem like New York is being a little more patient. It really does. I was walking, and it got to the point to where someone got a little too close to me and they noticed it and they kind of went another way. Granted, I was wearing a t-shirt ninja mask all day, so the people stayed away from me anyway. But I don't know. It's bringing people together, but they're just getting a little too close. But the patience, I think, will help. It just, people need to stay home, and that's not what's going on right now.
Yeah. Straight from our friend Alexa Farrell from News 12, the Bronx, actually. She says, as of Wednesday night, this was just an hour ago, as of Wednesday night, 20,011 positive cases in the city with 280 dead in New York City. That's insane, man. That's just totally, truly insane. I mean, the amount of people is just insane. And here's the thing. They're talking about taking inmates out of jails now. It's just, I don't get
it. For what?
They're taking people who were almost at the end of their sentences and things like that just to reduce the population so people don't get sick, I guess, is the plan. I haven't quite really understood it either.
Mm-hmm. So reduce the population of the jails and increase the population of the city?
Something like that, brother.
Huh.
Something like that. Listen, I do want to end the show tonight as we get on down the road. And I want to tell you guys, if you haven't watched New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's press conference from today, I urge you to watch it. This is what a leader looks like. This is what a leader in politics should be saying. This is exactly what a leader should be doing for his people.
Definitely. President needs to take notes on his address today, because he did a really good job on it.
Amazing job. And I tell you what, if you haven't done it, please, please watch it. It was, I mean, honestly, the guy is just, he's the man. And if you watch him talk and you watch what he's talking, he's no bullshit. He's giving numbers, he's giving statistics, he's being real. It's not about him. He doesn't even make it about him. He talks about the people. And honestly, he's killing it right now. And Dave, you've watched all of his press conferences too, haven't you?
Yeah, as much as I can. I mean, after about an hour, I start to lose track. But Yeah, I've been up to date on everything. I pretty much leave it on Fox 5, waiting for reports.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing to see what he says. And, you know, one of the things, I'm looking for the quote right now because I want to read it before we get out of here. But just to watch how he's talking to the people, he's giving numbers to the people. He's not sugarcoating it. And today he ended his whole speech today, his whole press conference on with two lines, and I want to read them to you guys just so you have it. He says, speaking for New York, "I'm glad we're first. We will overcome and we will show the others in the country how we do it." He says, "Our closeness is what makes us special." And he says, "We welcome people from all over the globe. We're close in every single thing we do. That's why we are hit so much harder than any other state. But we will overcome this, and we will show the rest of the country how to do it." I mean, that's leadership right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Right there. Jeffy, thank you for taking the time. I know you had a long day, for joining us tonight. Dave, pleasure as always, brother.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Actually, can I do a shout-out?
I'd love for you to do a shout-out, please.
It's not to anybody in particular, but it's, you know, to all the people that have come to New York to chase their dreams. And then this shit happens, and you might be out here alone, but you're really not. We got you. We love you, and we're here for you.
Amen to that. 100%. Yeah. Amen to that.
True love, brother.
Dream chasing doesn't stop just because of a pandemic. You just hit the pause button, brother. It'll pick back up soon.
Yeah.
That's it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night, join us. We got a great guest on. We're going to be talking some more stuff. We'll be a little more funny. But tonight was about getting info out, and I think we did that, Jeffy. I feel confident.
Definitely.
Big shout-out to Faraz. Big shout-out to Nicole Strait and everything that she's doing there with Food for the Frontlines. You got to check that out for sure. Listen, we'll see you guys tomorrow night. For Chef Jeff, for Chef Dave, I'm Chef Plum. Please remember that food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Give the time it deserves. And take care of each other. Good night.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.
Do you think I'm crazy? I'm not.